waves their paddle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons, the Transformers.
Robots in the sky,
the Transformers. More than meets the eye, the Transformers.
Hello, folks. Welcome to this Random Crap Podcast. Boy, am I on a roll today. I spent 2.5 hours today recording fanfics. Where's my coffee? Hey, today I'm joined by...
Badzilla98.
What?
How's it going?
Yep, Bats is back, folks, after I did a little stint on this podcast where we talked about Tommy becoming the Right Ranger. Jonathan Secor directing something competently and
something.
So Bats is here to join me tonight as we talk about, well, let's quickly explain to my dear listeners what made me choose this. You see, Bats invited me on to talk about series 2 of MMPR, quite possibly one of the most troubled, confusing, and badly edited seasons of Power Rangers ever. And that got me thinking, what series do I know that had a second season that was badly written, badly edited, badly dubbed at times? Not all the time, but say, I'd say roughly 25% of this season is really bad. I'm talking about Transformers Season 2. The season where, for the first half, nearly about half the writing staff were busy making the movie.
I would start off in saying that I don't even like the Season 2 theme song. As much as in the first season, like...
I like the first one, and I think the second... I like the visuals of the second season theme song.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
It's this...
The song just doesn't have that same ring to it.
It's just... I think it's a bit more speed up, you know, at places. I mean, I do like it, but... I think... Oh, God, it's a tough choice. I like both Series 1 song and Series 2 song for various reasons. It's like... I also like the Series 3 song, which is actually pretty good, even though it's just, But, you know, one of the things I do love about Transformers is the visuals you get in the opening credits, especially Series 4, where they introduce the Headmasters.
Yeah, I love me some Headmasters. The music gets really great during that.
I will say this for Transformers, they have awesome background music, especially during Series 3. Which in my mind is when the series gets quite a bit dark, actually. A bit grimmer at times.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, you know, after the movie, it was just...
But fun fact, though, one of the main reasons, like, something fans always nitpicked about the movie, one of the reasons why I like the Stunticons and the Combaticons and the Aerial Bots and basically a lot of the Autobots and Decepticons introduced during the second half of Series 2... The reason they're not in the movie is because they started pre-production on the movie during the first half, like we just said, so those characters hadn't even been introduced as they were writing the script for the movie.
Right.
But IDW, who one of the first things they did when they got the rights was they did a comic book adaptation of the 1985 film, and they added special scenes and deleted scenes and all this to the graphic novel. And one of them was like explaining, where are the reinforcements? And then you just see Ultra Magnus going, the Aerial Bots and the Protector Bots aren't coming. They got their own problems. And it cuts to Bruticus and Menasor attacking the Ark. So Omega's with a bunch of Decepticons. And Omega Supreme's there with the Protector Bots and Aerial Bots trying to defend the Ark. So the comic book adaptation that film kind of implies Megatron launched several different attacks to distract the Autobots while he went after the Autobot City. Which, to be fair, when you look at it that way, that's actually quite clever. That's like dividing and conquering.
Oh, really? Yeah, I like the IDW. I love their art on their,
yeah,
their Transformers books.
Mm. Same Don Ferguson's left, though. Who's the Don Figueroa? I can never pronounce his second name. He's, like, in my mind, one of the best Transformer artists, because he gets that really nice mecha look to him.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's sad.
I was going to say, he's done War Within for Dreamwave. He did Stormbringer for IDW. He did the first Beast Wars miniseries for IDW. He's like the fan favourite artist. He's like, you know how the Power Rangers fandom loves Judd Lynn?
Just
worships
yeah.
him, you know? That's what it's like with Don. We're like, oh my god, please draw another awesome artwork. Thank you, folks.
Gargle.
Yeah. Thank you, folks. Sorry, we're back on topic. So, I decided to pick one of the most bizarre two-parters in Transformer history, which is also the very first Transformer episode I ever saw as a small child.
Oh, wow.
This was my introduction to Transformers. Of course, I was 4 years old and a very dumb child, so I never pointed out the plot holes. As a kid growing up, I just assumed that was meant to have been the President of the United States, and that's how they kicked off the Autobots. But upon rewatching this episode, no, it wasn't.
It's just a mayor.
Yeah. They could have said he was like a senator or something. That would have made a little bit... It would have made more sense if they said he was the President, though. That would have made more sense. Because there was a couple of, like, hidden messages in this. I'm positive they were trying to say Sullenberger was a Republican or something.
I think he definitely was.
Yeah. I also love his name, Sullenberger, and he's a big, giant, fat ass like Eric Cartman. Mr. Burger, we... burgers! I can murder one. You, God, go down to McDonald's.
He mostly reminds me, I don't know if you've ever seen Inhumanoids.
Yeah, I've got that on DVD. That had a two-disc DVD release in the UK.
Awesome, I love Inhumanoids, but the Rupert Blackthorne
yeah.
or whatever.
He kept, didn't he get like badly scarred later on in that show, and that's why he had to wear the armor more and more?
I've only seen the pilot 2-hour movie or whatever. I've never actually watched the whole show. I've wanted to, but I just always had the VH tape of the movie as a kid.
As a kid growing up, I did see like the 2-hour like TV movie. Because one of the movie channels, when I first got basic cable, had a cartoon movie channel, and they would just show whatever they could get their hands on, like the GoBots film or any of the Hanna-Barbera films. And they showed Inhumanoids as a proper movie one day, and I thought it was the most badass thing I ever saw. Plus, it had that awesome theme song, Inhumanoids,
yeah.
Inhumanoids. Oh, God, what was it say?
From the evil that lies within.
Yeah, they're basically saying it was hell. I love that. God, am I the only one who thinks like an Inhumanoid style PR show would be the greatest thing ever? They have all that construction equipment booming into the earth. Power Rangers, Global Force. They must battle the evil within. Have like the main villain look like Satan with giant pitchfork. See if they can get that past the censors.
Bitlar.
Mouth. I love the fact in Humanoids that they have a zombified like monster T-Rex and he's voiced by Starscream.
I need to watch that show.
If I ever find a copy of the UK DVD, I'll mail it to you. It's multi-regional. I mean, I never even knew there was an Inhumanoid series until I saw this DVD. I just thought it was the movie.
Yeah, no, I found out there was a series not too long ago myself, and I was like, damn. I always thought, you know, that I knew there was toys for it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I love
nobody
things.
Nobody ever talks about Inhumanoids, and it's like, it's pretty badass.
I think it got a lot of complaints at the time, because when you watch that film, like the pilot, you're like, wow, this is pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a later one where I think they start making drugs out of the zombie monster guy, and kids at rave start taking them, turning into monsters.
Wow.
So it got really dark later on. But anyway, sorry, folks. We're not here to chat about how awesome Inhumanoids is, even though I wish we could. We're here to talk about Megatron's Master Plan, Part 1 and 2. Megatron, leader of the Decepticons, has this fantastic plan to take over the Earth and to get rid of the Autobots once and for all. His plan? Have his soldiers cosplay as Optimus Prime of the Autobots and fake an attack, with his own forces clearly overacting. I shall avenge you!
I almost feel like the human race should have gotten taken over for how easily they are convinced that.
I love how someone claims this is what gave them the basic idea for the last movie.
What?
The Autobots being forced to leave Earth and that, and the Decepticons trying to kill them in outer space, and then the Decepticons enslaving the humans after they said they wouldn't.
Apparently,
someone claims a plot point from this episode is what inspired a good chunk of Dark of the Moon. The whole, they leave and they think they're dead. Only, unlike in Dark of the Moon, Optimus Prime here doesn't wait for them to, you know, for them to slaughter 3/4 of Chicago.
He doesn't go like, oh, maybe I made the wrong decision. We should turn around. Oh, wait, it's too late. We're already on a death course to the sun.
Have you seen the last film? Like, when they ask him, why did you wait? And he's like, we have to prove to your government the Decepticons can't be trusted. That's why we let them slaughter 3/4 of this city. Wow, Optimus, you kind of suck. Yeah, shut up. He wants to save you or not.
Yeah. Take the poor Autobots for granted.
Yeah. This has got to be one of the, like, but nice bits. To be fair, this is the type of thing I could see happening in Power Rangers Series 2. You know, the Rangers are at the trial in their uniforms, and then they get the guilty verdict, and Bulk and Skull are like, no, the Rangers are heroes, and we're going to prove it! And then Jason just face palms in the helmet going, oh, God, no. We are so fucked.
At least, yeah, there's hardly anyone that supports the Autobots except people that already knew them.
Yes.
Like, personally, like, everyone else is like, Autobot lovers!
Oh, that reminds me. I think that's why they don't say who Daniel's mother is in the film as well, because Carly hadn't been introduced yet in this season. That just reminded me, sorry about that. Anywho, so the episode starts off, folks, with we have this new mayor of Central City. Pretty sure that's a DC Comics city, but anywho. And he's opened up a solar collection plant that was donated by his political rival, Sean Berger. But no, it turns out it's a trap to lure the Decepticons there, and then they just shoot them in the face with tanks.
They're pretty badass tanks.
Till Star...
Especially for the 80s.
Till Starscream blows them up. I like to imagine they've just found, like, transformer technology, and they're like retro engineering all the guns they find into their own hardware. That's why the tanks look so futuristic.
Hell yeah, all those freaking spare parts that are just laying around after a giant battle.
Well, that's
just sweeping through and.
Well, that's a plot point in a later episode. Defense Order suits Bruticus in the chest and he explodes into a million pieces. And then he swindles alive. He's like, oh, I did not see that coming. And let's not forget, Megatron did, like, take over an entire city and turn all the taxi cabs into mindless drones.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, everybody has forgotten somehow the last, you know, year and a half has been... it's all been just one big Autobot, you know, freaking sideshow to trick everyone. Like, why have they been wasting all this time putting on this facade?
Well, that's another thing. You know, in the original miniseries, there was a lot of people on that oil rig that they saved. Did no one come forward? Did everyone forget the dam? Disbelief? Wheeljack made a gun that turned people evil? Oh, I feel weird. I suddenly have the feeling to maim and kill humans. So do I, dude. Let's go and maim and kill humans. Yay! Oh, God. Okay. What I love is, though, they point out Sean Berger, who I kept thinking his name was spelled like Berger, as in hamburger, not with an E instead of U.
That's how I spelled it every time I wrote it.
Yeah, Berger. God, this seriously made me hungry for McDonald's watching this episode. It doesn't help, like, that. All I've got to do is leave my house, walk down the road for 5 minutes, and there's a figure McDonald's there, but... That's bad. That's bad. But surely this would have been a vote winner if he'd done it before the elections, though. Even if it failed, he still would have been shown to the voters that he was willing to take a as mayor of their city, he was willing to take a tough stance on the Decepticons that were terrorizing America.
There should have been some government, you know, intervention, I feel like, in this episode from higher up.
If they said this guy was the President of the United States and Berger was, like, a candidate who lost, it would make so much more sense. Well, in regards to that aspect of it, not in regards to the rest of the episode, but you know what I mean. I mean, I kept expecting, like, Megatron to reveal the other half of his plan was he put a stupid potion or something in the local water.
Yeah.
You know, he just said...
They basically, you know, turned into Nazis overnight. Like, all...
Well, yeah.
I was like, oh, you like Autobots? Get out of here!
Yeah. All about lovers, yeah. We don't like your kind around here.
They're like having the trial for them in that stadium. He's like, wait, my friend's bringing more evidence. And the guy's like, the wheels of justice do not stop turning for children.
We saw Chips 18. I love that. I was also thinking, wait, they just had proof. They're gathering more evidence. Can't someone do something to postpone the trial? I mean, who the hell was the Autobot's lawyer? Joe Grabowski or something?
Oh.
So I can't pronounce Kyle's surname from South Park. As soon as he lost, did he just go, whoops? And Prime's like, whoops, whoops, we lost, you idiot.
I just don't know. There's something I don't think not fair about having you to have your trial in a stadium.
It's probably the only place. Well, considering how big the town hall was, I'm amazed they didn't have it in there. But, hang on. So, yeah, so basically Burger's plan fails to stop the Decepticons. And then, and this is one of the reasons why I think he's a Republican. He starts doing weird quotes like, "I must find another path to glory."
Yeah, well, the fact that he has his own private army should be the first sign right there.
Yeah. Oh, I also love, before that though, the Autobots magically get there to stop the Decepticons within seconds. And after they defeated them, Bumblebee's we saw so them. I'm thinking, Bumblebee, you didn't even take a shot at any of them. What do you mean you sowed them? You just sat there while Trax got shot out of the sky.
The fact that they, I don't know, the Autobots, they just gave up and were like, "Oh, well, Optimus Prime, it's his worst episode ever."
Yeah.
He seriously is like, what happened to our inspiring leader who, you know, used to get us through every hard moment? They've got some badly acted videotape accusing them of stealing all this stuff. And he's just like, "All right, we're going to go into space." Everybody get on board.
I do Megatron's basic plan is the asylum sales strategy. We have to pray and hope that the people buying our films are so dumb and so stupid they'll think it's the actual product.
Yeah, well,
they've actually admitted that several times. Our sales strategy is we hope stupid people buy our films thinking it's the real thing.
Yeah, well, they do a good job of it.
Yeah. I mean, I've had no end of people say, "Yeah, I bought Transmorphers thinking it was the Transformers film." I know.
Transmorphers, it's not half bad. It's all right for a Friday night watch
with its lesbian
some friends
with its lesbian fighter pilots who never kissed.
That is a little disappointing.
Yeah, that really did piss me off, actually. So, Megatron bargains with Burger. He's like, Burger's like, "I want two cities." And I'm like, how can you legally do that?
He thinks that they're going to prove that they're good guys, but he's still like, "I want some cities after this is over." Like, oh, okay.
Wouldn't someone competent actually say, "I want you to help me become president"? You know,
yeah.
Use these heroic Decepticons once they prove the Autobots are the bad guys as part of his election campaign.
I don't think you want to be seen as too greedy in front of the Autobot or in front of the Decepticon. So I think, you know.
Well, later on he says, "I want three cities."
Yeah.
So, I think
he does get greedier, yes, as time goes on, but I mean, once he sees that the Autobots are gone, it's like, shit.
Yeah.
Some cities.
I ain't getting any fatter here. Where's my cities?
But yeah, I would just be like, "Yeah, just get me a nice little cabin in the woods, Megatron. I'll
get me some coke and some hookers."
Yeah, if you ever need my help again, you know where to find me.
With my face, with my body knee-high in cocaine and hookers. Megatron doesn't look to him and say, okay.
Well, what do they need with it?
So, he tells Burger to go out to this oil field in a helicopter with cameras, saying, "Oh yeah, I can guarantee some Autobots being evil." And what happens? They find the Autobots being evil. Is there nothing suspicious there, Mr. Burger? "Oh, I wanna be mayor." Okay. I know it sounds horrible, but every time I picture Bruce Callis, I picture Sean Burger.
Ouch.
I'm not trying to be nasty. It's just that's my mental image for Bruce Callis.
That's probably about right.
Yeah. Mr. Bruce, we kind of need your help to just throw the burger wrappers at the guy. Give me some more burgers. I believe you are not so evil. What? But sir, we need you to look over the script for once around, so it doesn't really make... Come my office! I must find a path to glory!
He does have some weird speeches, like... When the Decepticons, like, turn on everyone and he, like, realizes that he's fucked up and he just starts, like, rambling on like a crazy person, like, the apocalypse is on his way.
I saw their ship collide into the sun like a silver bullet being fired. I saw them burn in the flames of eternity or something like that. More proof why I think he's a Republican. Oh, something I caught that made me laugh. The imposter Ironhide. I know he's meant to be saying, we've got pests, Optimus. But when I was watching it, it sounded like, we got piss, Optimus. I don't know if it's the way the guy's trying to say it, or if it's just me mishearing. But it sounds more like piss than pests. That might be just me, because I'm messed up.
Maybe they slipped it through.
You mean like TJ telling the monster they're going to toss his salad?
Or it could have been another inspiration for the Transformers movies where, everybody...
Yeah. Bumblebee, stop lubricating the man.
Exactly.
Ugh. Anyway, so after the
Mike Bay's favorite two episodes of Transformers.
Oh God, this!
I only watched Megatron's Master Plan Part 1 and 2 because that's what I like. I'm Michael Bay.
Explosions! Anywho, so after the fake Autobot battle. It then cuts to, like, the Autobot day, and something I noticed, there were lots of people there waving flags, but there wasn't a lot of cheering.
Well, you know, it's hard to cheer for the alien race that brought war to your city.
Is that
because that's what they turned on them so easily. They're like, yay, our protectors who brought these people here.
Yay!
That they have to protect us from.
Yay, thanks for bringing the Insecticons here. We were causing a worldwide famine, which is actually a plot point in a later episode. I'm not joking. One of Megatron's other plans, cause a worldwide famine to wipe out all humans.
But then he can't have his slaves. I thought he was all about slaves.
He can just... make slaves out of their cars and jets. He does that all the time in the season.
IDW needs to do a Transformers versus Cars.
That would actually be quite funny. I know Disney did a Transformers versus Mickey Mouse.
Oh, yeah?
There's a toy of it.
I think I remember that. I was just going to say, I think I remember that toy.
They also did a Donald Duck Bumblebee.
Yeah.
I think
he's
it was
already set up, ready to go. Get on it, IDW. They listen to this show, right?
Maybe. So it turns out Berger owns his own network station, which made me write, so is he meant to be Rupert Murdoch or Chaim Saban or
probably. It's just the writer's subtle way of sticking it to their masters.
Well, again, this is why I think he's Republican. He controls a network, and yet he still lost the election. So they play the fake tape, well, the three fake tapes, and Prime's one of Prime's lines, which made me howl with laughter. It's obviously a fake. No one will believe it. And then as soon as the third one's over, you know, because Megatron's invented green screen to do their bass in the background. All the people like, yeah, Autobot scum. God. Oh, jeez. These people will believe anything. This episode is basically saying, okay, this is basically how someone reacts, folks. Hey, the Autobots are evil. The TV told me so. Boo to the Autobots.
This is so terribly acted, too. Like, you would think somebody would be like, this sounds a little fishy.
Prime, why do you sound like Starscream? Well, clearly it's a fake, but I know the good people of Earth will not be taken in by this. That's a tomato thrown at him. Oh, shit.
Wrong again.
So they head back to the base to try and, like, think what they're going to do, and then Burger shows up with his entire army. I hope he's paying overtime. At which point, Prime's plan to stall them. We'll only surrender to a legitimate law officer. Mayor then shows up, saying, you're ordered to surrender, and Prime's like, shit.
Okay. Okay. We'll do it. No fighting here.
We can't attack the humans. Otherwise, it'll it'll make us look bad. You know, that fucking videotape head. So, he then cuts their bullshit kangaroo trial, which, despite the fact there has been extensive news coverage of various Decepticon attacks, various witnesses, you know. they
I don't
still,
know what you're talking about.
You know, they don't call any of these people in, so...
The wheels of justice do not stop turning for children.
But I'm a 50-year-old war veteran who saw Megatron murder my family.
Ah!
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's the IDW comic they need right there of the people that Starscream is killing that are witnesses.
He threw my kangaroo out of his cockpit into the side of the mountain for a joke. Ah, oh, well, Lord, you're Australian. You're not really an American citizen. I kept expecting it to cut to, like, Burger passing the judge a sack of money with dollar signs on it. Like, as soon as he said guilty, someone came up with this giant bag of money and he went... Oh, good. My laundry is finally done. So, Burger...
Like, my three cities.
Sophie?
He's like, where's my three cities?
So, apparently, Burger also owns a spaceship.
He's more like Richard Branson.
Oh, God. Again, this is why I thought it would make more sense if they were presidential candidates. You could believe how he gets this shit. Armies, mercenaries, a fucking spaceship. That could be...
I could believe that Mitt Romney has a spaceship. Like, oh, yeah.
That conveniently can house all the Decepticons, all the Autobots. Oh, God. Bear me a sec, I just need to get a quick drink, but... Good God, this episode... We've not even reached the end of part one yet, folks.
That's all I remember from part one, is that they ship them off into space... With a Prime acting like a movie butt. Ooh.
Oh, there's something else I want to tackle, because the episode originally ends with Megatron messing with Teletran 1 and sending the ship into the sun.
Right.
Spike's taking nearly 12 hours to check some Betamax tapes. And my best bit...
You know how long it takes to rewind those things?
Oh, good one. My favourite scene, though, is that Chip, where he goes up to Optimus. But Optimus, where will you go? And Optimus is like, somewhere, Chip. Maybe even Cybertron. And then my first thought was, yes, go to Cybertron, Optimus. All there is on Cybertron is Shockwave and a bunch of drones. You could take back Cybertron within a day. Go to Cybertron, cut off Megatron's supply of energy on from Cybertron and, like, reinforcements, and just, like, wait it out until he screws up. That's what they should have done. That's what they should have done. They should have had Optimus go to Cybertron, take it over, and he'd be all like, now we play the waiting game. And Megatron's like, Shockwave, I got good news. Shockwave, pick up the phone. And Optimus says, he's like, sorry, Megatron, we've taken over Cybertron. Maybe you shouldn't have had this exile to outer space after all. And Megatron's just like, shit!
Maybe even Cybertron. Maybe we should have thought about doing this a long time ago.
Just leave you people being slaved by the Decepticons. Ah, that wisdom the Matrix really working for you, Optimus? You saw about that? Matrix, what should I do? What's that? We even go back to Cybertron? Let the idiot humans get enslaved? Yeah, oh, I can't see this going. I can't see this going pear-shaped at all. So ends part one, and so we move on to part two. Fun fact: they re-edited this into like a short, straight to VHS TV movie. So it just carries on in the UK edit.
So kids were paying like $30 for this on VHS back in the day when it first came out. Yay!
Well, I'd say my family rented it for like £1, which is like,
right, yeah, well, you rented it. I'm saying kids who like bought this, like,
I feel sorry for any poor kid that bought this.
He was like, yeah, new Transformers tape, and it's like 1995.
Yeah, everything I ever saw of a kid was probably either like really cheaply bought or rented. I'm not moaning about that. It's just you get to see some interesting stuff that way. Like all those Joseph Lie dubs, all the anime dubs that never appeared in the US. That's how a lot of shows actually aired in the UK. They never aired on TV. They went straight to VHS, like that Force 5 thing, where they edited like Guy King and a load of other mecha shows into one series.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen that.
Yeah, that's how a lot of them aired over here. They got aired on VHS only. I used to rent them from the local TV store.
I love the VHS. I got plenty of them.
I love the compilation films on VHS as a kid growing up. Like the Aerial Box 2-parter. They re-edited they edited that together with War and Dawn into like one long TV movie. So it's like an Aerial Box focus special, so to speak.
Oh, the Aerial Bots.
I'm Silverbolt, I'm leader, and I'm scared of heights!
I actually like this second episode better than...
I love it. Sorry?
I said I like this episode, part two.
Yeah, it gets...
Better than part one.
It gets really trippy. But
like, Soundwave partying in a disco.
There's actually a funny note about that, because with the BotCon, you know, the Transformers convention.
Uh-huh.
1 year, the theme was Mirror Universe, where the Autobots were evil and the Decepticons were good. The good version of Soundwave apparently likes to do that in his spare time. He goes to discos and Rabbids and Laserbeak and Rumble all dancing with everyone.
Hell yeah.
Also, Soundwave also transforms into like an Ironhide style van in that. But he still has the tape deck on the front.
Hey, never go anywhere without a tape deck. You never know when you might need it.
True. The thing I love the most, though, they said it in the present day, and apparently Ravis is on Twitter all the time. Which doesn't always help, because in one like text story they did, they had Ravis like go on Twitter going, "About to sneak attack on the Autobots, lol. They can't see us coming, lol." And like 2 seconds later, he gets a reply from Rodimus, like the evil Hot Rod. It's like, "Oh, really?" They're like, "Fucking hell, Ravids." Or he goes on Facebook and he's like, "Ravids is currently at the Decepticon base." They're like, "Ravids! What the hell?" So part two opens up with like a crowd of people cheering on Decepticon Day.
They've already got a holiday after one rescue.
And they've also got out like kid sized costumes, as there's a little boy who, you know, I have no doubt got beaten up at the end of this two parter, dressed up as Megatron. In fact, they seem to have an entire range of products, costumes and flags and colouring in books based on the heroic Decepticons.
Yeah, the marketing was like ready for this burger. It was like, "Yeah, get those action figures going. It's going to be huge."
Megatron's looking at the action figure and it's like the original G1 toy. "Oh, my forehead is not that big." Starscream's like, "What's wrong with my face?" Oh, sorry. "What's wrong with my face on this? Why does the nose cone bend that way?" Soundwave's like, "Design is inferior. It is not poseable enough." And Burger's like, "Everyone's a fucking critic."
Yep. Soundwave at the disco.
Yeah, still awesome. I love how Starscream points out to Megatron, "Why are we doing this parade?" And Megatron's like, "Oh, I have my reasons." Yeah, it's called stroking your ego. He's like, "Yeah, videotape this parade. Everyone loves me. Some people actually love me for a trade." Oh, it's going to feel so good when we turn on them and enslave them.
What?
Honestly, I think he just did this for the sock value when he turns on them. He's going to be like, "Yes! The look on their faces were totally worth it."
You know, he needed a party. He's been fighting this battle for so long.
He just wants
to take one day break.
He just wants some fun.
Before he, you know, busts back into whooping ass.
Yeah. But so then it finally cuts back to a scene from part one where Spike gets attacked by Ravids. He then defeats Ravids by dropping a case of Betamaxes on top of him. And then it cuts to Ravids at the disco with Soundwave.
Yeah.
Soundwave is looking at those three teenage girls who are all giggling at him. Soundwave's like, "Soundwave has feelings he has never felt before."
It's about to tear those girls in half.
I like to imagine, like, Rumble is tone deaf because he's clicking his fingers and it's totally out of tune, the music. He's like, "Yeah, get down, yeah, yeah." Someone's like, "You're out of sync." He's like, "Well, who said that? I'll sue you! I'll sue you in the fucking eye!" Sam was like, Wumble, calm down. He's like, I'm sorry, the Autobot evil way. Yeah, the Autobot evil way still working on me. Yeah. Get down, yeah. And Laserbeak looks as if he's about to murder that guy off in the cracker. Bitch, I'm a fucking robot, why do I want a cracker?
Laserbeak looked like he was having some fun at the party too.
Yeah, until that guy offered him a cracker. And he had that evil look in his eyes.
Yeah.
Bitch, I'm a fucking robot!
Yeah, you don't fuck with Laserbeak.
Yeah. He will impersonate Bumblebee, sneak into your house, have fake cup of tea with your daughter, and then murder your entire family. According to the third film. Yeah.
He's a vicious one. Laserbeak.
I love how his Buddha Buzzsaw is just an orange repaint of him. And his beak's meant to be a chainsaw, but we never actually see it being used.
I think that'd be kind of uncomfortable.
So, what's that, Buzzsaw? I can't understand the fucking word you're saying, because your beak is a buzzsaw. Now, someone was not thinking when they designed you. So, after that, it cuts back to, like, the Autobots in the ship, and everyone's like, you know, rabble, rabble, we're not happy, Prime, rabble, rabble, rabble. And Prime's all like, maybe I was wrong to get on board the ship. Maybe we did give up too easily. I would have loved it if someone just gone, so Prime, is that wisdom the Matrix actually finally kicking in yet? To be fair, if he got on thinking, yeah, we could go to Cybertron and retake our home because there's only one Decepticon there, if he actually said that, that would give a better explanation for his actions, to be fair.
He just seems like he's pouting. Like, oh, the humans betrayed us. Like, we're going to go into space and never talk to them again.
Frowny face. Cuts to his Twitter. It's like all these posts on his wall saying, Optimus, God help us, the Decepticons are attacking us. They were lying. And Prime's just like, what did I tell ya? Huh? Still think that footage is real? Just adds ignore to all the Twitter comments. So, something that's always bugged me, where did Cosmos get his alternate form? The UFO robot? Is he from Cybertron, or is he like just meant to be an Autobot who's been wandering the cosmos until he picks up transmissions on Earth, or...?
I have no idea. I had totally forgot about him until this episode.
You know what would have been an awesome episode? They go to Area 51 and there's Cosmos. They're like, holy cow, that's Cosmos! They knock on it, he's like, Cosmos, wake up! And he's like, am I dead yet? Have I become one with the old spark?
Yes, you have.
So wake up, we're trapped on this planet with organics fighting Decepticons. Oh god, don't tell me I'm still on that city planet Earth! Fuck! He fucking shot me down with a missile up my butt! You know how much that hurts?
Then he wakes up again, and it's him back on the ship, and he's burning inside the ship because they're headed towards the sun!
One sec. Sorry, but so, yeah. So apparently Thornburger watches the ship explode. I think I just started writing random notes at this point. Because Cosmos got in trying to change the codes, and I think Burger's with Megatron watching it, because Megatron's got this giant grin on his face. I seriously kept expecting him to get, like, a packet of popcorn and sit down in a chair and just, like, greatest movie ever. Yeah, die.
He's a robot. He doesn't eat popcorn.
Oh, and it's on popcorn, then.
And everybody's favorite.
Except humans. It kills them instantly.
It burns when I swallow it.
Yeah. I got this. I'm just curious. You think watching that spaceship explode is like the Decepticon equivalent of a snuff movie? You said, I wish it cut to like the ship exploding and then some random Decepticon just standing there going, so did we just watch a snuff film? So then he's like, right.
It would only been a snuff film if they were having sex as they were headed towards the sun.
To be fair, though, you're watching a ship full of people die. I think it still counts.
Historical war footage.
Funny enough, that's how this fan footage film we reviewed on the show started off. You see these two couples having sex in the haunted house, and then they get ripped open by a ghost. Asylum, proudly making fake snuff films. So, it then cuts, like, Megatron's all like, right, time for phase two of my plan. Let's call a press conference.
You promised me three cities.
Shut up, Burger. Go and eat something, you fat ass.
Okay, yeah, when Megatron's base comes out of the ocean, like, does that not look like the most sexual thing? Comes out and it just, like, bursts out of the water and it's like, and this looks like a giant metal penis.
Oh. Maybe he's overcompensating for the severe lack of forces. I mean, couldn't they just flown out the water? I'm pretty sure they used to in Series 1.
He was tired of getting wet.
Yeah. He's looking at Soundwave, like, Soundwave, I appreciate you building this, you know, weird tunnel thing that goes up in the sky and lets us exit the base without getting wet, but why is it shaped like that? Soundwave's all like, it reminds me of someone I knew long ago. Cuts a flashback of Soundwave with some random Decepticon to the song To Be In Love from Robotech. To be in love is the greatest thing that someone can have. Soundwave just starts, he just zones out in front of Megatron. Megatron's like, Soundwave, clicks his finger, Soundwave, come back to me, buddy. Sorry, Megatron, I was thinking of someone long ago, and it just, you know, cut, copy, repeat, you know. Send this loop for Megatron. So, back at the press conference, like, they start asking them questions, and I can't remember what the guy asked, because Megatron then goes, oh, happy reply, human maggots. They're like, what? And Megatron just tells them his entire plan. We tricked you into thinking the Autobots were evil! Evil,
like,
way good! Come on!
We've been had.
God, look out. Yes, because you're all fucking idiots. It's sort of just cut to Megatron going, seriously, I'm amazed this worked. I'm just going with the flow now, fuck it. Yes, we fake the Autobots being evil. Now bow before your metallic overlords.
I love that reporter, though. We've been had! Oh man, maybe we should have thought about this for 2 seconds!
Maybe we should have done some fact checking. I know it's the 80s and it's hard that, but come on, one phone call to the Pentagon.
That Burger launches into his crazy speech about death and the Autobots and the end of the world. And
yeah, Megatron says, we could never have done this without my good friend Thornburger. Think about it, son. And everyone gets pissed off at Burger and they're like, you scumbag! We'll fucking kill you! But yeah.
I do really like the part, though, where it, right then when Spike is like, he's like, yeah, the Autobots are dead, but I've still got to clear their names, because not, and even though you would think it's really kind of unnecessary at this point.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we need the evidence now that shows that they're, that we fucked up.
Maybe Austin wasted 12 hours watching porn while claiming to be looking for this evidence, and we wouldn't be in this situation. That's the real reason. He found the leather hardcore pornography in that editing room. Well, this is the 80s. But, yeah, I actually got Berger's quote here. They collided with Destiny in a cosmic funeral fire. And Spike tries to get the tape to wear it, and then Virgo starts sounding, it's the end of everything, it's the apocalypse. And tries to help Spike, and Megatron's all like, Spike, stand down, or I'll freaking crush your dad's head with my fingers.
It was very profound. It was like one.
This guy goes nuts.
He seriously flipped the script.
I love what I do love is we don't get any specified like lapse of time, like how long the Autobot's been gone, but Megatron seems to have like planned this out pretty well, because within the next scene he's got all these people as his slaves and he set up a factory and.
Well, I'm not gonna argue with Megatron. I'd be like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll be a slave. Like, don't beat me with your giant metal fist. Or that giant laser gun that you carry on your wrist.
Which, according to Marvel Comics, is powered by a miniature black hole.
Sweet.
I love that, though. It's just like, so did he just, like, get Burger's secretary to write up some plans? Like, okay, miss, what's your name? I need you to help me set up some plans here. You know, first off, I'm going to need X amount of handcuffs, and we're going to need tags that electrocute people if they try to escape from an enclosed area. You got any power plants around here we could convert into slave pits? Just out of curiosity, you know. What do I need this for? Nothing. It's a surprise for Mr. Burger. Don't worry your pretty little head about it. You went along with that paperwork now, okay? Okay. I'm so fucking glad Burger hired her for giant tits, not an intelligence. So, I'm guessing maybe it's a couple of days, or maybe a week or something, because it takes the National Guard a long-ass time to try and liberate this one city from the Decepticons. And even then, they got the crap kicked out of them by Starscream and Six Jets.
Yeah, it was a pretty pathetic showing.
Yeah. So, but before that, though, Chip tried to get to Teletran 1 to find out what happened to the Autobots. He gets there, he finds out they are dead, he's trying to figure out what happened to Cosmos, but then one of the Decepticon jets shows up and blows up Teletran 1. Takes Chip back, and I'm guessing he didn't tell Megatron he blew up Teletran 1, because that frees Cosmos, giving the surviving Autobots, who are all have been saved thanks to Trailbreaker's seal powers, and they're heading back towards Earth. So
yeah,
you didn't blow up Teletran 1, did you? He's like, No, sir. Good, because you did, and if the old box was still alive, then our plans would be fucking ruined, and I would be pissed. Yes, sir, I know that, sir. I saw what you did to Acid Storm, sir. So you remember, dudes. I'm pretty sure I'm first. Oh, whatever. You're a conehead.
Yeah, he seriously just, like, bashes through the mountain.
Yeah, this freaking volcano mountain.
With his friggin' head.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he blew up Teletran 1. He damaged his memory circuit. Megatron said to him before he left, "Don't blow up Teletran 1. He's like, my head hurts. What was that? Oh, yeah, blow up Teletran 1. Ra-da-da-da! Or did he say, don't blow up Teletran 1? Ow, my head hurts too much. So, after the National Guard fail and Chip's all emo because the Autobots are gone, they suddenly hear engines roaring, and the first thought is, could that be the Autobots? Megatron blows up a wall, nearly killing some slaves to run out to sea, and yes, it's the Autobots, they've sewn up. They survived re-entry. Mace Trailbreaker's still standing, considering how much energon he probably had to use up. And this is the thing that makes me laugh. Megatron has the Constructicons there. Time after time, it's been proven Devastator can pretty much kick the crap out of the Autobots, no matter how many Prime has. And yet he doesn't order them to combine to win the day. He's like, yeah, everyone just stand here and take pop shots at the Autobots.
It's like, we've lost our advantage.
You should have told freaking the Constructicons to combine the second you heard the engines roar. God. You won, Megatron. And you fucked it up. God. So they leave, and then, like, everyone there, like the mayor is, please forgive us for sending you into outer space, Optimus, to your death. And Burger was also a slave there, and he says, yeah, sorry about that. We cool, buddy? And Optimus is like, you'll have to answer for your crimes, and let us hope the wheels of justice look more favourably on you than they did on us. Cuts to the trial, and then, like, Burger's found not guilty.
I know, like, he's like, oh, well, I guess I could disband my private army, or, you know, donate some money to charity. Like, no, you're going to jail, asshole.
I hope you enjoy being prison raped. Piggy gonna squeal.
They're gonna nickname you Asperger. And...
I could just imagine it goes to trial, and it's the same judge. And he's like, I find the defendant not guilty for betraying humanity. And everyone's like, what the hell? And then Burger passes another sack of money to the church. And he's like, oh good, Mr. Burger did my laundry again.
Love that they're like, oh yeah, everybody in your private army quit when they found out what a dog lunch you were. Too much. Who calls people dog lunch?
It's the 80s. It's not like Sparkplug could have said, yeah, they all quit when they found out what useless fat fucker you are. Fucking send us out to the Decepticons, you fat bastard.
I'm going to start calling people dog lunch now.
Hey, Jonathan Secure, you're dog lunch. How dare you give us samurai? God, it's like in the Sonic, the Hedgehog UK comics. He kept calling people Pixie Brain. God. Oh, yeah. I love the idea that Burger's going to jail. But, yeah, so... do we quickly do grades and...
Sure.
Talking for over an hour.
Shoot. So, alright, grades. Part one?
That's it's a whole, you know?
As a whole? Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit easier.
Alright, I'll give this 2 out of 5 stars. But I think if this episode would have aired, like, right at the beginning of the season, of season one, I maybe would have given it, like, 3.5 stars. But it's just so far into the Transformers saga that it absolutely makes no sense. And it makes humans look incredibly dumb. I mean, we are, but good golly, this makes us seem like freaking retards. So,
yeah.
2 out of 5.
Yeah, I was going to say, I also give this 2 out of 5, and it's just because the whole plot hinges on humanity being as fucking idiots. Yeah, and I also, you know, take a point away because this guy's a mayor of a town, a city. How does he have these fucking resources? So like I said at the beginning, if they were presidential candidates, it would make more sense.
Oh, yeah.
But, but, no, if you see it playing on the hub, folks, it's worth a watch, but I do recommend Friends. Because this is just one of those episodes, if you told someone about this episode, they would not believe you until you actually showed them it. But, yeah. That's pretty much it, folks. Thank you for listening, and I'd like to thank Bats for coming on to the show again.
Thank you for having me.
That's alright. Hopefully we can do this again once Megaforce airs.
Megaforce!
Have you watched that film? From the 80s, so I actually recently got it.
Oh, yeah, with Barry Boswick, yeah. I had, I posted it on Ranger Park.
Yeah, scratch that, folks. Bats will hopefully be on again for a view of the Gary Boswick Megaforce once I get a copy to Matty.
Yeah, if you go on Ranger Bar, you can find I posted the full Megaforce movies on there. Watch it.
I'm going to laugh if the actual Red Ranger bike is like the one in Megaforce. Just has a pair of wings come out of it, like mask style. And it has a bad CGI background. Or superimposed, I guess, since it's the 80s.
I hope Barry Boswick comes and beats the Megaforce Rangers.
Apparently that film got a DVD release in Germany. It sold out really quickly.
It's a pretty fun movie. I mean, especially if you like ATV chases.
Yeah. It's a batshit crazy movie. Worth seeing. It's got to be seen to believe. And in fact, let's see how much the film actually. Oh, apparently, if you go on eBay, you can get like the original press kit that was released to cinemas, as well as the Japanese poster.
Awesome.
The highest. Oh, that's interesting. I was just about to put highest item, and it's not giving me one, but someone wants like £21 for the DVD.
So that's kind of expensive.
Yeah, that's like
that's like converting in my mind. Like,
that's nearly $40.
So.
And to the best of my knowledge, there's no special features.
So yeah, so you don't get the DVD. Just go on Ranger Bar and watch it. You know.
Yeah.
It has for free.
It's got to be seen to believe, folks. And with that, good night, dear listeners.
Jack! 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 What are you... Put that power cord down!
David? Oh, I'm retrofitting Season 8 of the Sonic Society.
Retrofitting the Sonic Society?
Well, we're going to be offering brand new exciting audio drops.
Which you do every season.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, we'll be offering original interviews for the makers and shakers of modern audio theater.
Also something you do each year.
Oh, well, I'm adding Racing Stripes.
Racing Stripes.
Oh, and we'll be getting a new co-host.
Ah, now, that's a great idea.
What? You saying you didn't like it when I hosted it by myself?
Oh, no, it was very experimental. I'm sure you did a good job whittling down to the core of your listeners.
Whittling down?
Well, yeah, you know, the diehard fans, the really enthusiastic fans of audio drama. You don't want to just artificially blow up your downloads, you know, bandwidth limits and all that.
No. No, I guess we don't want that.
Yeah, and then of course, you'd be getting more donations in and all the red tape that comes with that.
I like red tape.
Well, then it's a good thing you've got a new co-host.
Oh, I see what you did there. So any guesses as to who volunteered to co-host with me this season?
Let me guess. Is he British?
British? Oh, I don't know.
Well, it's me, you silly git.
I know that, but aren't you English?
Well, they're the same thing. Well, England is the country, and Britain is, if you sort of take it as, there's a really good little video on YouTube for this, actually, because it's complicated. Anyway, it's basically the same thing. When you rule the world for a while, they give you all kinds of extra names.
You don't say. We're just called Canadians.
Point taken. Yeah, you got me here. If I'm going to help out, what do you want me to
do? Well, we need a new banner over on Huey's table. He's getting hungry. It's been ages since anyone's fed him.
Oh, Huey! That's 206-888-4839, right?
Or 206-888-HUEY. Please give him a call right now and leave us a nice message.
Just one last thing, Jack.
Yes?
How are you able to hammer, saw, rivet, screw, and lay cement all at the same time?
It's audio, mate.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. The Sonic Society, Season 8. Now with 87% more David Alt.
And all the same Jack Ward.
Please subscribe anyway. And tell a friend. Find us at www.sonicsociety.org, at the iTunes store Sonic Society, and subscribe for free.
Like us on Facebook, and add us on Twitter.
A new show every week on the feed on Tuesday, or your local radio station. The Sonic Society, the very best showcase of modern audio drama.